Welcome to the New England and New York Real Estate Journal podcast. I'm your host, Rick Kaplan. My guest today is Andrew Pearl. He is the Vice President and Regional Director for New York at Swinerton. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, Rick. Thank you for having me. Excited to be here.
Well, you know, Swinerton is it's a 130-year-old company. It's based in San Francisco, California. It's a 100% employee-owned company with 4,800 employees. And Andrew, you decided you wanted to open up a New York office. You know, you grew up in the Northeast.
I did, right? Yeah. I joined the organization actually in San Diego 15 years ago. After I finished grad school in Los Angeles, I was recruited by Swinerton and spent 8 or 9 years in San Diego kind of building up the business. And we were in a growth pattern at that point down there. And then I was asked to move up to San Francisco and to take over one of our operating groups in San Francisco. And I spent 5 years there. And so my tour in California, which was supposed to be 1 year for grad school, ended up 15 years. And I had always tried to find a way to get home. But I really enjoyed the organization and they kept throwing great opportunities at me. So I decided to stick it out and see if there was a way I could bring Swinerton with me. And so in the beginning of the pandemic, we decided to take advantage of what we saw as an opportunity to really break into the market, and we moved in.
So you saw everyone was moving out of New York, so you said, let's move into New York. That's actually a pretty smart strategy. Yeah, because everyone knows it's going to come back.
We hope. We hope. You know, truthfully, it's sort of a play from our playbook of history. Swinerton was originally founded in Los Angeles and in 1888. And after the earthquake and great fire of 1906 in San Francisco, we moved up there to help rebuild the city. And so it sort of was paying homage to our, you know, our history that, you know, we like to take advantage of opportunities and not see them as catastrophic, you know, and see if there's a way that we can help. And that's part of the reason that we did it, to be honest.
So let's talk a little bit about Swinerton and, you know, what they're about, because, you know, they kind of have a unique concept as far as being a construction company.
Right.
Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so Swinerton Incorporated is our holding company. And, you know, our core business is Swinerton Builders, which is who I work for. And within that, we have, you know, commercial construction operations is our primary focus. And that's, you know, a traditional, conventional, I should say, general contracting business. We service, you know, all kinds of market sectors in all kinds of different geographies. Where we like to think of ourselves as, you know, a little bit different is the variety of business lines that we offer our clients. We have a number of affiliates that are part of the Swinerton family of companies. And one of them is Lindgren Development. So we have a real estate development organization, a department where we actually will participate as a co-general partner and develop our own properties. We have Timber Lab, which is our mass timber EPC business line. They're based in Portland, Oregon. And so they engineer, procure, fabricate, and then actually construct mass timber structures all over the country. We have, you know, a whole host of different organizations that, that, you know, we like to think of ourselves as a holistic company where we're not just narrowly focused on one individual type of service, you know, because our clients have very different needs, and some of them have of multiple needs. You know, they want to participate as a general contractor. They want us to participate as a, you know, a timber lab where we can produce their mass timber. They want us to be part of Lindgren Development. We also have Griffin Swinerton, which is an affiliate of Swinnerton Incorporated, where we are a P3 developer, where we participate in public-private partnerships. So we'll tackle civic, municipal type projects, where we bring in the equity and the debt and the engineering and design, and then we'll also deliver the construction services. So it's really, you know, a nice blend of varying business lines that all support Swinnerton Builders, really, as the general contractor.
So Andrew, let me ask you this is an important question, because during this whole pandemic, everyone's been struggling with material shortages, employee shortages, all of these things that it sounds like Swinnerton has come up with a sort of a concept to kind of shield them from that, where you have you are your own supplier, your employees own the company, so it's not like they're just going to pick up and leave. You know, they have something they own. It's a part of them. So how has that been working through this pandemic?
Well, I'm gonna back up a little bit, because I'm glad you brought it up. It really started for us in 2013 or 14. The leadership of the organization had gone through a number of economic cycles. You know, the traditional real estate economic cycles. For whatever reason, you know, the housing bust, the tech boom. There's all kinds of things that happen that impact the construction industry. And we really, well, they, I think, had just grown exhausted of the process. And so they launched what was then a 15-year business plan called the March to 2030. And it was announced officially in 2015. And the concept was very basic in its structure, but very visionary in its plan to really diversify the organization in a number of ways, so that we didn't have to rely solely on the limited markets that we were servicing at the time, which was primarily the West Coast. And we didn't have to rely solely on general contracting, which was our primary business. So we started to expand our geography. We opened up offices in the Southeast. We further expanded in the Pacific Northwest. We opened up a Dallas office. We opened up an Austin office, and now a New York office. We've also introduced a number of different business lines. So Timberlab was kind of the genesis of the March to 2030. We brought in Lindgren Development. And the concept was, we were really trying to flatline this economic cycle that we're sort of subject to, and really manage our own destiny. We also introduced a lot of self-perform work. So of those 4,600 or so employees that we have, nearly half of them are craft, and they're putting in place work on our projects. And so, you know, we're kind of building up our own army of workforce with our own training staff. We have our own career path for these employees. And so it's really intended to fight back against all the external factors that we've been faced with over the 130 plus years that we've been in business.
So it's also eliminating what a lot of the competition is dealing with right now. So, I mean, this puts you in a good spot, I would think. You know, it's in this day and age, an employee, 100% employee run company, that is not very common.
Right.
You know, you hear it very seldom, but there are companies that do it, and they seem to be very successful doing it.
Yeah.
Has there been any kind of backlash from having that in place?
No, quite the opposite. It's, you know, employee ownership is our lifeblood at Swinnerton. You know, we talk a lot about our culture. We nurture that culture, and we believe that it's because of our ownership structure that we have such a strong internal network of employee owners and shareholders. So the difference between the way we're set up as an employee owner or employee owned company and some of our competitors is sort of the timing of when it was started is really important. So it was originally started in the early 80s, when the original or the then owners of the company decided that they were going to sell it to the employees. And it was done before 1985, which was really important because in 1985, the tax code changed and the way that employee-owned companies were valued changed. So it went from a book valuation, which is a very standard, you know, mathematical equation, to requiring a third-party valuation, which can be subject to, as you probably know, a lot of different influences and you know, changing environments and potential retirements and all those different things. So ours is very transparent. It's very mathematical, and it's also you can't really mess with the share price. We have an outstanding number of shares. We have our equity, and that's essentially our share price. We're very transparent with our employees about our finances. We share every year the valuation of the organization, what the equity has become, the share price. We talk about it routinely. You know, we're constantly sharing with our employees how their efforts are contributing towards the share price of the organization. And, you know, it for us, it's a rallying cry. You know, it's really something that our people really kind of gather around. And they truly believe in this concept of one Swinnerton, that we're all part of something that's greater than ourselves. And that doesn't matter if you work for Swinnerton Builders or Timber Lab or EM Hunley, our building supply company, or, you know, any of these organizations, you're all part of something that's, you know, a collective benefit if we all succeed.
So does that mean they all are a stockholder?
That's correct.
It's an interesting concept, especially in the industry where the trades, skilled labor is very difficult to attract new people.
Yes.
Have you found that still an issue, even though you are 100% employee owned?
Yeah, I mean, workforce development, workforce recruiting has been a challenge, I think, for a long time. I don't think there's ever been a time where people in modern day felt that they had an influx of a workforce. And it's become more and more difficult to, one, get people interested in the trades with so many competing, you know, career paths. And if they do get into the trades, it's hard to get them to come to the organization. The way that we draw people into the organization is through this employee ownership structure, because they are eligible to participate in the equity sharing and to become a shareholder of the organization, just like any other employee. It's one class of share, and it's not restricted to any particular rank or title or years of service. It's very, you know, equitable in the way that we distribute the ownership of the company. And we give people an opportunity to really grow something within their career. You know, they have a lot of opportunities to advance within the organization. My mentor, who actually recruited me 15 years ago and retired early January 2021, Frank Fulmer Jr., started with the organization as a carpenter and retired 42 years later as an executive vice president, and moved through, you know, every rank and title that you could possibly have in the organization. So it's for us, you know, hiring from within, career development, focusing on talent, it gives us an edge when it comes to finding the next, you know, generation of craft and employees.
So you must have a high retention rate.
We do.
Yeah, we do. That's important, especially in this day and age. You know, millennials like to move around pretty often, you know, so... That is a nice a bonus for a company to have that.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the type of projects you do.
Sure.
You know, because it sounds like you can handle almost any type of project that is out there when it comes to commercial space. I'll hear it from you. Tell me a little bit about what projects you like to do. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's it's best defined as the length of a piece of string, really. It depends on which office you look at. If you were to go to San Francisco, one of our largest offices, we're currently completing some of the largest projects in the city, some new vertical construction projects, one being the Mission Rock development with Tishman Speyer, right at the foothill of the San Francisco Giants ballpark. And we were, you know, in construction for Oceanwide at First and Mission, which was a $2 billion new construction project in you know, downtown San Francisco. We also have a special projects group where we tackle all different kinds of projects in scale, in complexity, focusing on corporate interiors, building renovations, building additions, those types of projects. And, you know, they take care of all those different market segments, whether it's office or hospitality, multifamily residential, healthcare, life sciences, you name it. We really, we do try to cross all market segments. If you were to go down to San Diego and check out that office, which is a really fun office, it's where I was, you know, they take care of a lot of multifamily residential in downtown San Diego, building, you know, the high rises, apartments and condos in the Gas Lamp and all over downtown San Diego. But they also have a special projects group where they take care of corporate interiors and building renovations. Our Denver group is very, very experienced in the high-rise office, and they take care of that, and high-rise hospitality as well. Hawaii, their primary focus, you know, not too shockingly, is hospitality. So Swinerton built many of the original hotels in Hawaii. And continues to focus on servicing those clients. So, you know, it really is just a mix of the people and the talents and the different skill sets that our offices have. But what's really nice about, you know, especially going back to that employee ownership and that really strong internal network, is that, you know, if we have clients that want to work with us in different markets, and they have a project that maybe the local team doesn't have a tremendous amount of experience with, we can draw from our internal resources and support that project via remote or, you know, temporary reassignment to a different office. And so we, you know, we really try to think about our clients first and focus on a national basis where we can take care of our clients' needs in any market segment that we're at, in any market sector that they want to participate in.
Well, I mean, that sounds like a great feature for your clients, but it's also a nice thing for your employees, because I know if I'm in the Northeast in the wintertime, I know I'd want to be working in the Hawaii office in the winter and then come back to the Northeast in the spring.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, talent mobility is a big focus of ours recently. When we opened up the New York office, we brought 5 employees with us from the West Coast that wanted to try their hand in New York. And it's really important because we get to blend a nice mix of experienced, you know, bought in Swinerton culture with the new talent that we bring in from the local market. And we've done that in several occasions, you know, where we move people like myself. I've moved twice for the company. We have some folks down in the Southeast that came out of Denver to open up the Charlotte office. So, you know, we really try to bring that Swinerton culture to the markets that we're opening up new offices in. And it gives people great opportunity for career growth.
Yeah, you know, in New York, you know, they went through their troubles in the past 2 years, but things seem to be coming back. I just did a show on New York. And, you know, it's a perfect opportunity right now for all the things that you mentioned that Swinerton does, because life sciences is starting to grow pretty quickly there. You know, multifamily is very much needed. And they're, you know, all those things, you have a new mayor that is probably going to go and try to encourage more development for multifamily and probably different commercial space. So it's a perfect timing, I think, in New York. So is there any other areas of the country that you see that Swinerton is looking at to make a move to?
Well, you know, our Southeast.
I don't want you to give away any trade secrets or anything.
No, no, that's okay. That's okay. Our Southeast and the Northeast regions, we are definitely the newest groups within the organization. And so, you know, the goal right now is for us to really kind of dig into these markets and to expand within those areas, right? So we opened up an office in New York. We expect that, you know, over time, we'll potentially open up an office in Philadelphia and start to service that market as we're starting to see more and more activity there. Perhaps, you know, we'll get into the Washington, D.C. area. We have some projects that we're doing in Washington, D.C. with our corporate services accounts. We have national agreements with some of the major tech companies and financial institutions. So it could be that Washington, D.C. is another opportunity for us. I'm a Yankees fan, so I'm not sure that they're going to let me in Boston, but I'd love to be there. It's a great town. and, you know, we could potentially go there. Our Southeast group is always looking at different market sectors that they could potentially service. You know, they are a little bit of a traveling group, and so they already kind of stretch their geography pretty far, and they're good at it. And so, you know, if they find a market that is continually bringing them in, it's a possibility. You know, the thing that's so fun about working for an employee-owned company and a company that's really encouraging our you know, entrepreneurship, you know, the companies that I mentioned, Timberlab, MD Builders, EM Hunley, you know, Swinnerton, Lindgren Development, all these different things were really started by employees. It was employees that decided that they got really passionate about something and they wanted to see it grow. And so they made a pitch to the shareholders. And, you know, in most cases, we encourage that. And so if an employee steps forward and says, you know, I really think we should be in Nashville. I don't know, just throwing it out there. That's not a trade secret. and they can come up with a business case for it and are willing to support it. You know, that's really how this happens. It's very organic, which I think is really cool, to be honest.
That is. I like that. And I'm sure a lot of young people would love that opportunity. You know, let's talk about young people. You know, you, how did you start? You know, where did you come from in all of this? We'll find out a little bit about Andrew Pearl.
Well, I grew up in northern New Jersey in a small town called Mountain Lakes. And you know, it was a great little suburb, very small community. And I was always sort of driven and kind of gravitated towards construction. I would sneak on job sites as a kid at night just to be there, just to smell it and kind of feel it. And then when I was, you know, able to actually swing a hammer, I started working in the trades. I was a carpenter mason, and I was primarily in single family residential, working on renovations and additions. And then I worked, you know, kind of through college when I was getting my degree in architecture. I continued to work in the trades. And so, you know, for me, building is kind of, those are my roots, right? I came from that. And I really didn't have any intention on going into commercial construction. I really thought I was going to just kind of start my own, you know, residential custom home building company, like every other, you know, northern New Jersey, there's a lot of them.
Right.
And I probably would have been really happy doing it. But, you know, I did, just like you said, the young people coming into the company, I saw that there was something very unique about this that was going to give me an opportunity to kind of build my own business within a larger organization. And truly, it's been all of that. Really has.
Well, it does sound like a unique opportunity and pretty attractive opportunity for someone young. If someone was interested in talking with you, Andrew, how would they get a hold of you?
Well, I'm very active on LinkedIn. So if they wanted to send me a message on LinkedIn, we do, you know, all my contact information is on the Swinnerton, New York homepage. So they could certainly reach out to our main office or send me an email. You know, I'm very approachable. I love to chat with people about the organization. I'm very passionate about Swinnerton and, you know, always open to speaking with people about new opportunities or how we can work together, or if they wanted to potentially work with us. I'm always available.
Great. Well, we're talking with Andrew Pearl. He's the Vice President and Regional Director for New York at Swinnerton. And Andrew, I want to thank you for taking the time to talk to us. It sounds like you're working with a great company, Swinnerton.
Thank you, Rick. It's been a pleasure. I appreciate you having us.
Oh, thank you. Until next time, I'm Rick Kaplan.